Hello, I'm Jordan Rich, welcoming you to the Amy Lynch Investigations Podcast with author P.K. Norton. Here we talk about the origins of Amy's adventures, how they grew out of people and events in Paula's own life, and how much fun the author has had in putting it all together. We're off to Paris. I'm Jordan Rich, and I'm here with P.K. Norton. Paula is the author of these Amy Lynch mysteries, and this podcast is all about a celebration of mysteries and this wonderful character. So let's begin with something that you're interested in, archaeology.
Yes.
Where did this start? Where did this begin?
I think it started when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really did anything about it until I was 30. And I volunteered on a couple different archaeological digs.
Good for you.
Spent the summer in Europe digging up the past.
So the book also takes place in Paris, a very romantic and mysterious place at times.
Paris is the best place ever.
How many times have you made the trip?
Oh, I lived there for a year.
Oh, that's true. Okay, so you're very
familiar.
I did
a year of college there, and I've been back untold numbers of times. Once Jack and I even went there for New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's the city of lights anytime. It's beautiful.
It's always a good idea.
So let's talk about the idea. Since you did spend time in Paris as a student and working in a dig and all that kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff that you could work with to create this new story.
Yes. We were looking for a story, and Jack said to me, "Tell me three things you're interested in." And I said, "Paris, archaeology, and spies."
Okay. No, not to be flip about this, but people might say Paris, chocolate, and jewelry. No, you're going spies and archaeology. I love you for that. Okay, go ahead.
And he sat back and closed his eyes and thought for a minute. And then he said, okay, so Amy's working at the dig in Paris, and they uncover a relic from World War II, which could implicate somebody as a traitor.
Well, this book that I loved has real historical and international implication. So let's just say that. It's a bigger book in terms of the crime. What's this about the Association of Former Intelligence Officers?
I was a card-carrying member.
No wonder you like spies.
Yeah.
How do you become a card-carrying member? Are you a former intelligence officer?
We don't talk about that.
Oh, you'd have to kill me. Okay, gotcha. All right. So that comes into play. And what would the reason be for Amy to get involved as an insurance investigator? We'll just ask that.
Well, she went over there to volunteer at the dig on her vacation.
Ah.
And she met the head of the dig. And the next day when she shows up for work, he's dead.
Okay.
And there's been vandalism at the dig, and she has to revert back into investigator mode.
Vacation over.
Vacation
it's
over.
It's time to go to work.
Yep.
You say that Jack helped you a lot with this particular story.
Yeah.
He did.
He helped me with every story.
Mm-hmm. But this particular story, which takes place in Paris, it has connections to World War II.
He was big on World War II.
Okay, because so am I. I'm fascinated by that. Well, that's fantastic. So the characters, we broaden the list of folks here. Obviously, there are French characters.
Absolutely.
Who do we have?
Oh, my favorite is Marie Dupré in the story,
mm-hmm.
who is based on Madame Joubon, who was my landlady when I lived there. And she was just a fascinating little lady. She was half my size.
And you're a
I'm small.
not a tall lady. You're not playing any basketball anytime soon.
No.
Okay, so she's a tiny lady. What was her claim to fame?
Well, I thought she was ancient at the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old she was. But we chatted a lot, and she had been part of the resistance during the Nazi occupation. And she'd tell me stories about it.
That's great fodder.
And somehow, I don't understand how or why this was, but she had permission to take the train to the south of France, to free France, on a regular basis to visit her brother.
Mm.
I don't know why they let her do it, but they
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
And every time she came back, she smuggled in forged passports.
Isn't that cool?
She was just fascinating.
So Marie Dupré is based on her.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Nazis caught Madame Joubon, and they broke all of her fingers while they were interrogating her.
Mm.
And Marie Dupré has gnarled hands, too.
There are others, including, I'm going to say this, Olivier Meyer.
He was the actual archaeologist that I worked with.
Okay. And Paul Béchard?
Paul Béchard is the adorable French detective.
You have to have one of those.
Absolutely.
To get Pete a little jealous, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, Pete was supposed to come on this trip, and something came up at the last minute, and she went by herself.
Never allow a cute little investigator to go by herself on vacation.
It serves them right.
You really do paint Paris, though, as a player in this book, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Paris is just so special.
Why? What is it all about in your
life? I don't know. I turned 20 there.
Okay. Well, that means something.
And I had wonderful adventures.
Even today, in 2020, in the second decade of the 21st century, there's something eternal about Paris. It never changes. You know, the River Seine and the Arc and the Tower.
It is one of the most beautiful places in the world, and it simply feels good to be there.
So I assume you, everywhere Amy goes, you've been.
Absolutely. And after I wrote the first draft, Jack and I packed our bags and went. He had never been to Paris.
Oh, this was a great opportunity to do the research and have fun.
You got it. Yeah. And we had a lot of fun. One particular day, it was one of my favorite afternoons of my life. One of the big crisis scenes in Dead Drop takes place at the Hamlet in the woods surrounding Versailles, which is a little country village that Marie Antoinette had built so she could play peasant. And I wanted the grab scene to take place there when the bad guys caught Amy. Jack and I went and spent the whole afternoon there walking through all the possible ways we could make this happen.
Gives me an opportunity to jump in here. You said it beautifully, the grab scene. That's mystery writer talk, isn't it?
Yes, you need your crisis.
And as we go along, I'm sure we'll touch on the fact that you actually think of ways to bump people off.
Oh, Jack and I would go out to dinner and sit and just talk about how to kill people. One of the worst days of my life also took place on that trip when we got mugged in the metro.
Oh, my goodness. Both of you at the same time?
Well, we were walking together, and this fella came up behind us, and he grabbed Jack by the belt, which made sense. If he grabbed me, Jack would have been all over him.
Sure.
He grabbed Jack, and Jack told me to run, and I took off at warp 2. And Jack was a fencer. I mean, this guy had a knife. I mean, Jack didn't have his épée with him, but he knew how to position himself and how to parry so the guy couldn't get the knife anywhere near him.
Wow. That is awesome. Now, did he get Jack's wallet or?
No. He got nothing.
So basically, he stifled the mugger.
He did.
Let's talk about the fencing for just a second. Mm-hmm. You mentioned épée, of course, which is the sword of choice for most fencers.
It's the purest form.
Absolutely. Was that something that he had done all his life?
No, he started it in his 30s, and then he was just a fanatic.
And he participated in tournaments and so forth?
All over the world.
And how about you? Did you ever pick up the épée?
No. But I went to all the tournaments. Oh. I still have a lot of good friends who are fencers.
And fencing shows up, perhaps?
In direct elimination.
All right. We'll talk about that when we get there. So what did we learn and what do we learn in this book? There's a ton of it.
You learn about the French Resistance in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a lot about Paris and something about archaeology.
A little bit about food and a little bit about French handsome detectives and how they approach a particular beautiful lady.
Yeah.
See, that's what I take out of it. I'm trying to learn how to be suave. Give me a break. It's a wonderful read.
I
think the history is really very, very telling and prescient, absolutely. And Amy is right in her element. One more thing, though, that we wanted to talk about was what impact this had on you when you're writing her character, because she's not getting much support from back home, from the home office.
Well, if I tell you why that is, I'll spoil the ending.
Well, exactly. We can't do that. But is that something that rings true with you, Miss Authority Fighter, as we've discussed?
I don't like authority at all. On the other hand, I don't want to be in charge either.
Well, there you go. We'd like you to read the opening chapter. It's very short, of Dead Drop, to give people a sense of what it's all about.
Okay. This is Paris, 1943. Don't panic. You must not panic. He had trouble following his own advice as he hurried down the darkened street. The sound of footsteps behind him grew louder, more insistent, matching the frantic beating of his heart, replacing the din of the anti-aircraft guns as the bombers flew eastward. The echo of footfalls indicated at least two people. "Steady, keep moving. Stay calm, you can lose them, you must." He held his breath, trying to judge their distance from him. They were gaining ground. His so-called comrades from the resistance were nearly upon him. They knew of his betrayal, and he knew what they'd do if they caught him. They'd brand him a traitor, a Judas. It wouldn't be like with Antoine, a single bullet to the head. No, his own death would be long and cruel. They'd torture him until they learned everything he knew, everything he'd done, the names, the plans. Only then would they kill him. Just a couple more blocks to reach safety. "Make the darkness work for you. You're almost there. Stay calm. Don't run. You'll be safe soon." At last, he reached the Rue Jean Jaurès and the designated spot, an ordinary house, one amid a row of ordinary houses in a middle-class neighborhood of Saint-Denis. Without stopping, he opened his fist and shoved the crumpled envelope into a meter-high cement urn next to a low stone wall, then continued down the street, ever aware of his pursuers. At the corner, a crowd emerged from a theater. He eased himself into their midst and disappeared into the darkness. "I'll be all right now. Help will come. They'll get me out, like they promised. They'll help me to escape to somewhere far away and safe, and I'll be rich, rich beyond belief." A sudden blast sent him reeling. Heart pounding, he found shelter in a doorway. His pursuers stumbled past, looking for him in the confusion. He looked around. A single plane, trailing fire, was flying to the west, having jettisoned a load of bombs not far from where he stood. They'd hit the very spot that held his hopes for rescue, for survival. Judas slumped away into the darkness, unsure of how to save himself.
There you go. Just the opening pages of this wonderful book. I love the name, Judas, in this case. You paint a good bad guy right off the bat, my dear.
You need a good bad guy.
Well, it's called Dead Drop. It's the book that we're talking about in this particular podcast. And I certainly wish people great fun when they read it. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us.
Thank you.
You're such a busy writer. I'm surprised you had the time, but thank you, Paula.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Amy Lynch Investigations Podcast, available for subscription and download on all major podcast platforms. Paula and Amy would certainly appreciate you reviewing and rating this podcast. And don't forget to find out more at pknortonauthor.com. Also check the Facebook page, P.K. Norton. This is Jordan Rich thanking you for joining us on this adventure.